On this episode, we're going to be talking about the test of disillusionment in this series entitled, These Seven Tests Will Strengthen Your Faith on Souls Road 2. And welcome to Souls Road 2. This is the podcast that is putting the oxygen back into the Christian life one soul at a time. And so happy to be with you today. And I want to talk to quickly just about disillusionment. I think I'm an expert at this because I've been through so much in my own life, and I've helped people, and people have helped me, and you know. But disillusionment is an awful thing, and the question that lingers in my mind with years of going through this stuff and just different experiences is, how do we become disillusioned without losing our faith? That's the trick, right? That's the key, because so many people can become disillusioned to the point where they just fall, or they lay down and let life roll over them. But disillusionment is an inevitable part of life. No matter how starry-eyed we become with possibility, we will at times experience the feeling of being let down. When disenchanted, our best plans, goals, or intentions seem to take a sharp left turn. So how do we become disillusioned without losing our faith? You're a follower of Christ, you want to serve Jesus, but man, life is hard. Problems happen, people happen, situations happen, losses happen, crises happen. Well, here's a scripture I'm going to start with, and we've been kind of focusing in on the life of Abraham in this series. And Abraham is very powerful because he embodied a lot of this stuff in his own struggle. There was a reason why he's called the father of faith. But this is what it says. Genesis 22:1 says, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you." And this is Genesis 22:1-14. That's where the story is. I just gave you that text there. But what is disillusionment before we go further? Disillusionment is simply a feeling of disappointment akin to depression arising from the realization that something is not what it was expected or believed to be. And I think that if you're breathing and listening to this or watching this, you have suffered and experienced disillusionment. We all have. And often children, this is why children are so free and happy, because they don't know what that is yet, right? But when you get older, you experience this thing called disillusionment. So what fuels disillusionment? The first thing, and I'm just going to give you one thing, there's a lot of things, but one main thing is illusion to begin with. Illusion. What is illusion? Illusion is a thing that is or is likely to be wrongly perceived or interpreted by the senses. It's something that you ever have two people tell the same story and the stories were so different that it was like night and day. Why? Because one maybe had this illusion and the other guy had that illusion, or the other guy had that illusion. And so everyone has a different story. And so a word that is maybe connected to this or related to this in an indirect way is idealism. And idealism means, it basically means an image or figure or form, but in this case, in your head. And for instance, a young woman can have a romantic picture of love that is not real when she thinks about a certain man that she likes. And she can picture her knight in shining armor with perfect teeth coming in on a white horse and just sweeping her off her feet. And that's her idea. A young man can have the same image. He can love the idea of love without loving the person. And this is what I mean by idealism, or having an illusion in your mind. Joseph Priestley said this, "Living in an age of advertisement, we are continually disillusioned. The perfect life is spread before us every day, but it changes and withers at the touch." And this is why I read to you the whole story of Abraham, you know, throughout this whole series. And I read in particular when God said, "Hey, I want you to sacrifice your only son." Because this was the major point, in my opinion, where Abraham became disillusioned, or he struggled with it at least. And even though he was a father of faith, man, the father of faith, you know, if you want to hit 3,000 home runs, you're going to have a lot of strikeouts, right? Because we're human. But disillusionment gripped his own heart. And I think of people like Gideon in Judges 6 and 7. The first thing God did to help prepare Gideon for battle, if you know the story at all about Gideon, Gideon was from the smallest tribe. He was kind of the runt of the litter, and he was shy, and when he worked, he would hide inside a cistern, which is a big clay pot, basically, so that the enemy wouldn't see him. He was afraid of the enemy. But in order for God to help him to defeat these people called the Midianites who had been oppressing Israel, God, you know, the angel called him Mighty Man of Valor. He's like, say what? You know, he looked behind him like, who? He's not talking about me. But God first had to destroy the image that Gideon had of himself, that I'm the smallest, I'm the most insignificant, I'm a nobody, I'm from the least tribe in Israel. And this is often what God has to do for all of us when he has to get us out of that rut, right, of unbelief or depression or just black, you know, just sadness, that he has to change. He has to destroy an image that we have of ourselves. And Abraham read the promise and he had a specific picture in his mind. I mean, if he's human like we are, when you hear a promise or somebody minister to you a prophetic word, let's say, right, and says, God's going to do this, but you got to be patient. What we hear and what we conceive in our minds can be two different things. And we can have this idealized image of how things are going to turn out. And when they don't, that's when we become disillusioned. Thus, Tim Holliday says that idealized images actually keep us from experiencing the great things God wants to do in your relationships. Because we have this idea in our head of the other person, you know, if you're dating, right, and you say, wow, they're the perfect person. And when you see a fault, oh, they're less than perfect. I don't want to be with them. And that can keep us really from intimacy and from getting together, right, and becoming one. So the effect is this, the eternal carrot on a stick dilemma. What do I mean by that? We're always chasing this carrot that we can never attain, because this idealized image, this illusion in our heads is as powerful as reality. And we chase that, but we're not chasing the real thing. Illusion, idealism, keep you from being satisfied. And because you can never attain your fantasy, you become depressed and sad and you get in the rut, right? And I'm speaking from experience and not just the scriptures, as I've been reading some of these scriptures to you, but the person trying to find the perfect job, the person trying to find the perfect marriage, the perfect home, the perfect relationship, somehow, if they're obsessed with that, they'll never find it because they have an illusion that must go before they can really move forward. And could it be suggested that some of our own stress that we create for ourselves is happened by having a false picture in our head, something God never gave us? Because you never get the carrot, but you are addicted to the idea of getting the carrot. And you say, oh, you know, I'm going to chase that dream, right? And so it never turns out the way maybe you envisioned it when you read that promise or you felt that God spoke something to your heart. It always happens differently. So for 25 years, Abraham felt like he was chasing the carrot because he really waited 25 years for this promise. And I read this early on in the series, and I'm just going to read a portion of it by Eleanor Stump. She talks about what Abraham might have felt when God told him to sacrifice his son. After all, Abraham had put into this promise, right? And he might have felt this: everything I thought I knew about God is hereby shown to be an illusion. Every preceding promise of God to me is hereby falsified. And all the trust I placed in those promises is hereby shown to be betrayed. The judge of all the earth is a promise breaker who desires the death of an innocent child in ritual sacrifice. And nothing is what it seems to me to be. And I'm glad that she kind of said what it seems to me, because often our illusions can be so powerful that they can replace reality. And we can assume that this is what the reality is, that God is not faithful, that God doesn't love me, that God doesn't care. Why would God make such a demand after all Abraham went through? It sounds cruel. So losing your disillusionment without losing your faith. How does that happen? How do we lose our disillusionment without losing our faith? Because they're so connected sometimes. Because you have the illusion. You ever hear the story from the animated movie called Bolt? It's about a dog who thinks he's a superhero. He's indestructible. He has laser eyes and a super bark. Until he wanders off the studio lot and is shocked by the reality that his whole life was false. All the superpowers he thought he had were just stage props and special effects. What an awakening. This is what disillusionment looks like. What you thought was is not. And nothing is more sad than the death of illusion, says Arthur Koestler. But I would disagree with that. Because in God, I would suggest this, that nothing brings you to God's purpose is quicker than the death of disillusionment. That's where real faith begins. That's where real hope begins. When you fall in that disillusionment and then look up to God and say, God, I can't do this without you. So when is disillusionment a powerful thing? It's powerful when it becomes the very basis for your faith. Never be afraid of doubts or struggling with unbelief, because that's the beginning of really a jump start to believing God and holding on to God. I remember years ago when I lost my idealism when I was young. You know, I'm 60 now and going on 61. And when I was young in the ministry, man, I had these incredible, and I still have faith, don't get me wrong, and I still believe God, but I was so over the top with just these illusions in my life of what life was supposed to be, that when I got really, really, really hurt once, it was really rough. And someone patted me on the back after the whole ordeal. And they said, man, they really put you through it, those people, didn't they? And he meant this group I was a part of, this organization I was a part of, I've been part of for many years. My response to him without thinking was, I thank God for what I went through. It made me the man that I am. And then later on, as I was thinking about it, I realized that I had, by the grace of God, shed my disillusionment and embraced faith, and my faith grew. And I didn't lose my faith. It actually grew stronger through that experience. Because sometimes what keeps us stuck in lack of growth is that we need to become disillusioned in a situation so that we can grow out of certain bad habits we have or certain things we're doing. And so that's just a long story short, but I say that to say this: we are not truly ready to truly believe, right? And I could word that better. We are not ready to truly believe until we know what it is to lose faith. And so losing faith can be the most powerful thing that can happen in your life, because as it has somebody once said, wisdom comes from disillusionment. That's where God says, now I have something to work with. And we really don't want to go backstage in our own fantasies and ideas, because if we went backstage, it would be like the Wizard of Oz when they finally, you know, pull back the curtain and see this little old guy, you know, pushing levers and buttons, and like, that's the enemy, that's the guy, you know? But another person put it this way: it's dangerous to let the public behind the scenes, for it's the illusion that people love. And we fall in love with our own ideas and illusions, and God says, no, you gotta surrender that, because I love you too much to leave you inside a fantasy. I want you to live reality as it is. So losing your disillusionment, how does that happen? How do we do it? What happens? Disillusionment, there's another definition I want to give you, that because there's about three of them that, you know, one can be in philosophy, and the first one is the one I gave you, but here's the third one that's very powerful. Is to be free from illusion, from the false mental picture. And I would add, it's to see that things are not as though you thought in your carnal mind. In other words, when we become disillusioned, it's when we learn how to lose our naive faith. And that's a beautiful thing in God, that when we lose our naive faith, we don't lose faith really, because we believe in Jesus, right? We follow God, but he wants us to lose our naive faith. And thus, here's a scripture that will help you to break through disillusionment. It says, we destroy arguments, this is Paul speaking, and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, or we take every thought captive to obey Christ. So you see that there, that when he says we destroy arguments, another version, I prefer the word when he says we destroy not arguments, but what one says strongholds, and another version says imaginations. That's the one I really like, because imaginations is where it points to the idea of illusion and fantasy. But arguments can be the same thing, because we can make that imagination our argument of why we're living the way we live and why we're doing it the way we do. So another definition for disillusionment I just gave you, and let me just say that Jesus never hesitated to snap people out of their fantasy. He was always willing to say, look, here, this is the price tag. You have to die to yourself. And anyone who refuses to take up the plow, you can't be my disciple. You can't follow me. When Peter said, you can't go to Jerusalem, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He literally disillusioned Peter on the spot of the illusion he was carrying. So we must become free of the illusion. And I believe that it begins with the word of God, by stating the word of God over our life and destroying those arguments. Some use disillusionment with God or church as an excuse to throw off restraint and say, well, I don't want church anymore. I don't want God anymore. There's too many hypocrites, too many liars, too many cheaters, too many thieves. And I've always insisted that that's where they belong. If they're going to be anywhere, they need to be in church, right? Because church is a hospital where people get better, where they get saved and find God. So this key is to lose your idealism without losing your faith. People quit because they have never learned the difference. They don't know the difference between losing their idealism and keeping their faith. They don't know how to do that. But God can help you to do that. When you quote that scripture that I gave you, he'll help you to do that. I'll give you one last scripture as we close, 2 Timothy 1:12. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. This is Paul giving context to his pain. But I am not ashamed, right? Or I'm not disappointed. For I know the one in whom I put my trust, and I'm sure that he is able to guard until that day what I've entrusted to him. So think about it with Abraham, back to Abraham. The blessing came after Abraham worked through his own disillusionment and trusted God. He had 3 days on that journey to do battle in his head. And I believe he battled in his head. If he's human like you and I are, father of faith or not, he had a rough time. 3 days journey to think about, hey, I got to kill my son in 3 days and offer him to God. I believe in that 3 days, God spoke to him, God calmed him, and God showed him something. And God literally took the illusion out of his head. And that's why when his son says, hey, we have the sacrifice, you know, we have the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide. Somewhere along that journey, God broke through to Abraham. And Abraham believed that God would break through and would make the way. So faith isn't blind, but it is trusting in God's goodness to come through, despite how hopeless the circumstances seem. Abraham passing the ultimate test of laying the most important thing in his life on God's altar was able to be the man of faith, the father of faith. So if you like this podcast, leave a like. And if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we're also on Stitcher, and we are also on Buzzsprout and Apple and Google and wherever you can get your podcast. So till next time, so glad to be with you, and you have a great day. God bless you.